Hey everyone. It's Coach Kathy. I'm coming in hot. I'm usually better prepared than this. How are you? How's everybody doing? Oh, let's see if I can get my name changed. Let everybody get in here. We will get started here shortly. Hi, everyone. I was just talking to one of my private clients. She's in the Midwest and she has worse weather than I do, which is saying something. Hello from Caitlin Kelly. I saw you yesterday on Coffee and Connection, didn't I? And I saw Darlene yesterday. Oh, and there's Patty. Hello, everyone. So good to see you. Glad you're here. Oh, Wisconsin. See, that's where my client was, and she was talking about how sweltering hot it is. All right. This is how to feel the hard stuff. It is. Yes, it is. How to feel the hard stuff without eating. It can be an emotion. It can be a physical sensation like pain. It can be the heat. It can be anything. How do you manage the feelings that your body presents for you without eating, right? Or how do you pause without eating? This is the key. This is the key. So I would invite you all, if you want to get coached, go ahead and raise your hand. We'll get some coaching going. Audrey has eaten this week. Okay. Appreciate the honesty, right? How's that worked for you? Yep. How's that worked for you? I don't know. Eating, to me, eating when you're hot, it doesn't do much for me when I'm hot. I'm telling you. Lisa has extreme heat warnings in California too. Doesn't solve anything, does it? No. Actually, here's what eating does. Let's just be honest. Eating is regulating. Eating does help your trying to get all my stuff set up here. Does help your nervous system feel better momentarily because it's what we've always known. It's what we did when we were babies. We squawked, we ate, right? So it is somewhat regulating. It's what we're used to, but there are other things too, other things that can help us as well. Like changing how we talk to ourselves can help us regulate. Being kinder to ourselves, more compassionate. That's why that thing in the tracker lives there, right? Did you talk nicely to yourself today? How was your self-talk? Yes or no? All of that is important. All of that is important in order to stay regulated. In fact, a couple of years ago, when I did the nervous system group, the Calm and Confident group, I would talk about how negative self-talk creates an unsafe place for yourself in your mind. When you're talking nasty to yourself, yeah, unsafe place in your mind. So we want to do our best to feel good about ourselves, or to at least feel neutral about ourselves if you're someone who beats yourself up all the time. Okay? I don't see any hands yet, y'all. So I'm going to talk for a minute. I'm going to talk about noticing someone else's nervous system. Okay? So if you saw last week's Q&A with MJ, which wasn't MJ, it was me. If you saw last week's Q&A, or if you listened to it on the podcast or on the website even, you know that we moved Ken's sister into assisted living. Now, that really doesn't sound that bad, does it? We're just helping somebody move, get put them in an apartment. They're going to get some extra help, except Ken's sister has Alzheimer's. And she is progressing at a rate that we are kind of surprised about. Her short-term memory is, we call it Swiss cheese. It's just crazy. Sometimes it's on point, and sometimes, she can't tell me what she had for lunch. And so last week's move was tough. It was tough on her. She's still, sundowns. So she's calling us going, where am I? And she's in this new apartment that we've set her up with. She's been there 6 days now. And then when she's upset, Ken gets upset, right? So her nervous system is a mess. Then his nervous system gets to be a mess. And for, if you've ever met my husband, he's pretty easy most of the time. Pretty easy. He's calm, he's encouraging, he's loving, all this stuff. If he gets dysregulated, he gets mad. Okay? And he can go hot. right? He can go hot pretty quick. But then he yells and he's over it. It's just pretty easy. He froze. He went into a freeze state. Y'all know what a freeze state is? Last week, where he couldn't think, he couldn't decide. Freeze state is a combination of having a lot of anxious energy in your body, but not being able to move. It literally is frozen. I go there when I'm overwhelmed. It's like I can't decide what to do next, and I know I have to do something. So Sandy says, that's me. Let me yell and then I'm over it. Yeah, I wish I was that way. I'm not. I'm a freezer. So I watched him go into freeze state and I thought, this is fascinating. This is my opportunity to teach him what's going on in his own body so that he can normalize it. He can feel what he needs to feel so that he can manage his sister and her care. So it was just a really, really fascinating place to be in order to help him help her. So very often I talk to you all about how important connection is, how connection helps us regulate our nervous system, helps us find home base, helps us burn off steam, whatever it is. We can also, that's called co-regulation. We can also co-dysregulate. So if one person is on a 10 and super anxious and panicky, someone else can become that way too. And that's what was happening with Ken and his sister. They're so emotionally connected because they love each other and care about each other so much that they can co-dysregulate. So it's something to watch for, something to just know is possible so that you can observe it happening. It's very, very interesting. Becky says Alzheimer's is a struggle. My mom has undiagnosed dementia. Interesting. Her memory can be like Swiss cheese as well. She'll ask me the same question multiple times and she'll talk in circles. Luckily, she's still living on her own. So I don't mind. I honestly don't mind the repetitive questions. But it just breaks my heart when she's crying because she doesn't know where she is and she's scared. That's the thing. Julie says, I think what I've been calling procrastination is sometimes a freeze state. Yeah, totally. Totally. There's a reason you can't move. And it's you're either overthinking or you're overwhelmed or you're frozen or something. So you know what you do in that moment, Julie? You pick one very, very small step that you can take. One very, very small step. Okay. All right. I have one hand raised, so I'm going to go ahead and get to it. I have no idea who this is. They're logged in as Zoom user, so it will be a surprise for all of us. Okay. So if it's you and your hand is raised, Zoom user, I'm getting ready to bring you onto on screen. Okay. Let's do it. Let's do it. Yep, here they come. And this is the only hand, y'all.
Oh,
Hello.
well, hello.
Tell me your name.
I'm Beth. I spent 15 minutes trying not to be a Zoom user. It
Oh,
did not
you're fine.
work.
You know what, Beth? You're fine. Now we know who you are.
I tried to get technical help in from my husband and it didn't work. But anyway, but
It's
anyway.
all right. It's all right.
So,
You're here
yeah.
now.
Oh,
What do
yeah.
you want?
Great.
What do you want help with?
Well, you seem to be the nervous system guru, and I
I
listen to a lot of your calls. And, at work, I have coworker things, and they seem to trigger me. And I've been catching myself. I've been working on this for months. I read the book "Let Them" by Mel Robbins. That helped a lot, but it still keeps triggering me. And now I feel like they're out to get me. And I'm trying to figure out: is it me? Is it them? A little bit of both. I think it's my nervous system keeps getting triggered, and I go off the deep end. I get home,
Yeah,
and
so
then
tell me
guess
what.
what? Food, food.
Yeah,
Yeah.
tell me what the trigger is.
I feel like I get picked on, like I did something wrong,
Okay.
and
Are
I
they
felt
telling you you did something wrong?
no, they're not, I guess not directly, but it comes in the email days later, and it's like I made an example of, like this is what we're seeing, and it's all me. It's like something I did, and I'm trying to be. I usually get along with people. This is like the first time I've been there 30 years. First time I've had this, I can't seem to resolve this one particular person.
How do you know it's all you?
I don't. That's what I figure. I don't. I keep telling myself that, but boy, it just triggers me, and then I get my going on, and I've been trying to figure that out.
Okay.
What's the best
So
way to go about that? Maybe.
number one, you don't know that it's all you, right?
True.
Because they're
Very
not
true.
going, everybody, I want to tell you how Beth messed up, right? Right?
True, true.
Okay. And is it possible that they have noticed something that someone did, whether it's you or not, and you may have, they're just trying to correct the course, just trying to change the course.
Yeah, that's true. Or that could be true, and that whatever. I just felt like at times I get made an example of, and other people don't get this, but then I get this. And then we have like a group chat, and then I get this
Oh, so
passive.
y'all are back in the back talking about, is it me?
Well,
Is
no,
it you?
everybody. Well, no. They'll put something on the thing, on a group thing about, hey, I'm here all by myself. It's like, I'm going to be there in 5 minutes. And we go through this like every day. I'm like, when I get there,
So,
it's weird, or it's my mind, I imagine.
it's your, okay. So from a nervous system perspective, we have
Yeah.
this little piece of our brain called the amygdala. Okay. It's about the shape of a kidney bean. It's very small. And so it only has one job, and that is to scan for danger. Once it finds danger, it catalogs it for you. It says, you touch that hot stove, Beth, it's going to burn, so don't touch it again. Oh, wait, look, you're about to touch a hot stove, it's going to burn. Okay, so it's always scanning for danger. Okay, it's collecting evidence that danger exists. All right, now this could be a real threat, like, an earthquake, or it could be somebody sending an email, which is a perceived threat. Okay, not a real threat, not a real threat to physical safety. Okay, all right. So, when you focus in on something you believe is a real threat, your amygdala is going to hyper focus on that thing. It's going to be like, oh, look, another email. It must be about me. Oh, look, another email. It must be about me. Oh, look, a group chat. This one's about me too. This is what your nervous system is doing. It's scanning for danger and cataloging the threat. We want this to happen. Because if there is an earthquake, if there is a explosion, if there is a pandemic, we want to be able to be safe. We want to be able to find safety. The problem is our amygdala doesn't know the difference. So it's your job with this thinking part of your brain to say, hey, amygdala, that email might be about me, but it might not too. What can we learn from it? And that's how you regulate the nervous system. You call on this logical part of your brain to assess the risk. Okay.
Yes, that calling on the logical and finding that logical is where
Well,
I catch myself, but then I go down the road.
So
That's a
if
lot
your
worse.
amygdala gets crazy, and you can't call on the logical brain, then what you have to do is find a way to lower the intensity of the feeling in your body, the nervous system activation, so that your logical brain come back online. Because when you're super agitated, your survival instinct is taken over. Okay, and that's when you fight or fly away or freeze or just totally shut down. Okay.
Wow.
And then when you're in one of those states, your brain is going to go, I know how to make this feel better. Let's eat. But if you catch it before it gets to that point, you can reason with it. You can take a deep breath. You can lower your shoulders. You can try and release tension in your body. You can do one of those five core pillars that I talk about in order to bring your nervous system down to the point where you don't have to eat and you can logic your way through it. That makes
That
sense.
makes Oh, it does. I keep hearing this oh, that over and over. It's just, I guess, a matter of practicing it.
It is
Need a lot of
definitely
practice.
a practice. So I'll tell you a story. Just this week, I think it was yesterday. Today's only Tuesday, right? I think it was yesterday. Corinne posted an audio message to all the coaches in our team communication channels. And she never does this. And she said, I notice that some of you use this term when you coach, and the messaging behind it is not quite what I want it to be. I want you to use this term and this kind of messaging. And so, what do you think my nervous system said first? It was me. I messed up.
Messed up, yeah.
Right? It was me. Did I do that? Did I mess up? Was it me? Right? Because she sent it to all the coaches. But right behind that, it was, well, that's really great information. That's probably something I need to do. I need to watch for to make sure, the messaging is clearer to the members and it's more, a more compassionate way to explain things. Okay. Takes practice because there was a time not too long ago when I was like, I'm gonna get fired. I'm gonna lose my job.
I've been thinking that, yeah,
Okay. I'm
actually.
gonna lose my job. I had to offer myself evidence to the contrary. Kathy, you're not gonna lose your job. You're the nervous system coach. You're the emotional eating coach. You're the expert in the area. You're not gonna lose your job. It's gonna be okay. You just keep doing what you're doing and keep taking feedback and getting better.
But how do you take the feedback without it hurting, or it turns me crazy a little bit? Like
Well,
I'm eating crow or something.
that's the reasoning piece that you have to invite in. Okay. Because you, like I said, my first response was, I've messed up. It was me. Right. But then the reasoning piece has, I have to invite that piece in. It's not going to come automatically, Beth. Okay. The automatic stuff lives in the habit brain, and that's the I messed up thought. The conscious brain is where we have to intentionally decide what we're going to think. So for you, your homework is to kind of write out for yourself a script. When I see an email like that, this is what I'm going to think first, and then I'm going to ask myself these questions.
Yeah, I start taking notes, looking for evidence. Is it me? Is it them? And then got all these crazy notes, but I'm not doing anything with it. So that writing that response out, I
Yes.
see.
Yes.
Ooh, yeah,
And the
okay.
other thing you can do is you can ask yourself, so what if it's me?
Well, sometimes it is. And then I've
So
been
what?
doing some goofy things that just happen. And it just kind of, some days it seems to pile up. Like, oh, yeah, that was me. That was me. And like,
Yeah,
ooh.
but so what if it's you? They didn't come into your office and go, Beth, out.
No,
Right?
no.
Right. So what if it's you? Maybe if it is you, then you've just gotten an amazing piece of an opportunity to change how you do things or how you do that.
It sounds great now, but at the time it does not. But I
When
see
you re-listen to this is part of the script
the
that you write,
point.
okay? And I'm gonna give you my magic thought when it came to imagine for a moment getting feedback from Corinne. Do you think she pats you on the head and say, I know you're doing your best and it's going to be okay. And don't you worry about that. Or is she like, girl, fix it now, right? Okay. I finally, after journaling and journaling and journaling, I finally came back with feedback is an opportunity to grow.
I've heard that, but now I get it. It makes okay.
Yeah.
Right.
So if you want to live in your job, grow in your job, when you receive an email like that that's offering, maybe it's you feedback, maybe it's somebody else, maybe it's the group, maybe it's Corinne leaving an audio message and she didn't say, now I've heard Kathy say this and I want to make sure nobody else says this, right? She just said, coaches, I want you to take a note. Right?
Yeah, there are a
Feedback
lot like that.
is
Yeah,
an
okay.
opportunity to grow. It's also an opportunity for me to serve you better. And I love the way that feels.
I like that one.
What do you do in your job?
I'm a medical lab technician. Like
Okay.
I'm a lab person.
A
And the
lab person.
person, yeah, a lab person.
Do you work directly with patients?
Yeah, some when they
Okay.
drop off their collections and
Yeah.
whatever's.
Yeah. And so your job is pretty important to be done in a specific way, right?
Yes,
Yeah.
for sure. A lot of
So
sciencey, but yeah.
yeah, so whatever these emails are helping you serve other people in a more efficient, complete way.
Yeah, it's just the person that's providing this is not a lab person. They kind of fell into this position and they're doing their bestest, which I get. So sometimes their ideas are a little bit kind of out there, but I take that with a attention that it's a good intention most of the
Well,
time.
yeah. And so maybe, not Corinne used to always tell us, still
Yeah.
tell us, you can have 30 ideas and I'll like one of them, but I don't want you to stop having ideas because every now and then you'll hit one.
Yeah, that's
Right?
true.
And
Yeah, you never
sometimes it
know.
takes someone who has a little bit of a different perspective to see a process that can be improved as well.
I know
I'm giving
that.
you all kinds of magic thoughts, Beth.
Yes, there you are, the magic thoughts. I'm gonna have to listen to this and write them down, and it'll help my, I'm sure, deal, think of this. Wow. Okay.
Okay. So now back to we have the trigger, which is the email or the notification or the group chat or the whatever. And then we have the response. Okay. So a trigger almost always has a response. And you said your response is coming home and eating, right?
Yeah,
So.
later in the day. I usually deal with the day, get through it, like survive it. Some days it's like surviving. I get home and I just go wee and
Okay.
I
So
go off
walking it,
and
we could say then that walking in the house is a trigger.
yeah, because then I'm like now I can just complain to my husband or I can do
Right,
something.
right.
Yeah.
So between what do you think is between a trigger and a response?
I guess the way you react to things. I don't know
There's
the word
space.
says.
There
Yeah.
can be space, a pause between a
Oh
trigger
yeah.
and a response to decide and assess.
Oh
Okay, so it's your job to recognize the trigger. I'm walking in the house. I'm all up in my feelings about an email that we got today. The response I know is I want to go eat, but I'm going to take 1 minute and mouth off to my husband first and see if I feel better. And just start testing stuff in that pause, in that place between the trigger and the response.
Space. I'll remember that. The space. Like
Space.
how. Okay.
Start testing stuff. What works? Maybe it's spouting off with the husband. Maybe it's taking a walk around around the block. Maybe it's taking a shower.
My husband suggests these things, and I'll go at him, and like I don't wanna. So, but
No,
I'm
you don't
being.
wanna.
I
No.
don't wanna. Sometimes I do it, and sometimes I'm grateful, and sometimes I get through. I'm really mean, and then yeah.
Yeah,
But
absolutely.
just
Absolutely, you don't want it. 'Cause
practicing
eating
it.
is the easiest, funnest, most thing that we know, right?
Oh yeah.
But you're not going to replace that eating habit unless you start trying new things and building a
Try new
habit.
things.
And building a habit that can compete with the eating habit.
That makes sense.
Seriously.
Yeah, I mean, I'm laughing because I'm like, oh yeah, I get the connect or the building or replacing it.
Yeah. Yeah. Or at least giving yourself a second option. Because it's not going to replace immediately, but you have to invite in other things to try.
Takes me a
Okay.
while to invite stuff in sometimes, and I'm that let them book or whatever helped a lot with that. I'm like, oh yeah. Yeah, so okay.
All right.
Great,
So
great.
you got lots of homework, girl.
I do.
You're going to create a script for yourself, different things to think. In response to, the thought, it was me. I messed up again. Look, they've sent another email and it's my fault. Okay. That automatic thought that comes in. And you're going to start trying different things when you get home. Change up your routine a little bit. Try a few different things and see what lands. Okay.
Good idea.
My thing is Legos. Do you see my Legos back here? I got a
I
radio.
know.
I got a
I
flower
have
arranger.
some. I have some to make right now. I haven't got it yet,
Let me tell
but
you something.
I love these.
You don't want to be eaten when you're working your Legos, because
No,
then the things slip
they get
out of your
sticky.
hand and sticky and all that kind of stuff. I'm loving the
Yeah.
Legos, and it's creative and it's fun. What do you have? Tulips? You have
Oh
tulips?
yeah, these are
Oh,
oh, I
nice.
do have tulips for the around. I got those for my birthday. They're like tulips. I have flowers. I have like those. Yeah, I have those going on, and they're in my house. I don't kill them. Yeah.
Well, right?
Yeah.
I'm doing the orchids right now. Have you ever had an orchid that lived? Not me.
No.
But these orchids are going to be beautiful because they're Legos.
Yes.
Yeah. And so that's what helps regulate me, is totally putting my focus into something creative. And I can't eat when I'm doing my Legos because I need my fingertips.
Right. I know this, but I seem to fight doing it sometimes. Like I just want to stay in this mad state. So I
No,
need
it's
to,
not that you want to stay in the mad state. It's
no,
that
I don't
it's
want,
just your process right now.
it's
You
my
just got to
process.
interrupt the process.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay.
That's a better way to look at it. I like
So
that.
maybe you remind yourself, maybe when you come in, and maybe you put the Legos right there. Put the Legos in the pantry next to what it is you'd grab.
I
Give
love it.
yourself an opportunity to go, oh wait, Legos. Maybe I'll do that instead.
Yeah, I have four things right now to do, so I just haven't gotten to them yet.
Yeah, I know. Four things right now you have to do from
Yeah.
homework for me.
Oh, no.
Oh.
No, the Legos. No, the Legos.
Oh,
I got
right.
four different
Perfect.
sets, the little things I just haven't gotten to yet, though.
Perfect.
In the
Well, you
pantry, in the kitchen, they go. There we go.
there you
Okay.
go. All right.
Love it.
Does that
Great. Well,
help?
thank. Oh yeah, they give me some things to try at least. It's different. And of course, you do it out loud with somebody. It makes it more real and more. I think I'll. There we go. Do it.
Yeah. When
Yeah.
you say something out loud, you engage more senses. You hear yourself saying
Yes.
it, and
Yeah, it
it's
makes a big
especially
difference.
if it, yes. Yeah, super helpful.
Love it.
All
Cool.
right.
Great.
All
Well, thank you
right.
so
Good luck.
much.
You're
All right.
welcome. Talk to you soon. Bye. Awesome. Awesome. Amy, then Caitlin. Thank you for raising your hands, y'all. Give me an opportunity to talk to you. Amy, you're next. Then Caitlin. I also have some questions in the Q&A. Awesome. Y'all are working me tonight. This is good. Hello.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can hear you. How are you?
Awesome.
Yeah, you did good.
Oh, yay. Yeah, because I'm at work, so I've got the background blurred. I've got my headphones on. Hopefully no one comes into the office. If they do and I suddenly shift, I apologize. But I'm
Got
hoping
it.
that I'm hiding enough that they don't know what I'm doing and I can just wave at them and move them along.
Okay.
So, let's see. So I have been with Corinne, no BS, and I actually found you and Corinne on a podcast in the Wayback Machine, probably like 2022 or 2023. And so this is like talking to like one of my idols. It's kind of like I've been lurking in the shadows and not step forward to be coached. And I've been working no BS for 2 years. And so this is my first time. And I will start with my question and then let you pull out of me whatever background or additional information you need. I think what I'm struggling with and why I finally said, okay, today, no matter what, if she asks for people and I'm on the call and nobody at work has gotten in my way, then I'm gonna get on the call and ask for coaching. I am at a really weird spot in life and also in weight loss. And I feel like there's some there that I gotta still unpack. So my mom, we finally got a diagnosis that she's got, I think they're just calling it like cognitive decline, early stage dementia, Alzheimer's. It's hard for me to really understand exactly what they want to call it, but It's tough. And my sisters and I have two sisters. They're 2 years younger than me. And we've kind of split up the mom responsibilities. My stepdad, who she was married to for 20 plus years, died in 2023. And one of my sisters really took control. The sisters are twins. So we got a weird dynamic. I'm the oldest. They're 2 years younger, but they're twins. And one of them kind of really took over and said, I'm moving mom to Arizona to be next to the other sister. And so my mom moved from near me to near another sister. And it's been a disaster. Every part of it has been a disaster. And the sister actually admits that and periodically just calls me and says, can you take mom for Mother's Day? I need you to come out here and blah, blah, blah. Right. So, anyway, so there's a lot of stress and pressure on that. I'm an executive with a big job, and I'm frustrated, for various things with work and all that. And I had a financial apocalypse on top of all the rest of all of this a couple years ago that I am just finally digging out of. And I'm on the precipice of moving out of staying with my boyfriend, which was supposed to be 6 months and has now been 2 years, and moving into a place. And I'm scared to death. I'm scared of being back in that financial apocalypse. I'm scared of what's happening with my mom. My dad died in March, raising up a whole bunch of other things. Work is hard. All the things are hard. And my crutch is the food. And I've lost 70 pounds in a very long time. And I'm on a GLP-1. I'm at the top of the, I can't go any higher. There aren't any GLP-1s higher than what I'm at. And I'm about, I don't know, 10, 15 pounds from a goal weight. And I just, every day, I feel like I'm just white knuckling everything because nowhere in my whole life did I ever learn how to feel anything without shoving it down from food. And like, I know all the reasons why, I know all the history. I've done therapy. I've done, I'm in HR. So I listen to people all day long. I've done all kinds of stuff. And yet this trigger with like the dynamic with my sisters, the dynamic with my mom, the dynamic with all of this, it just repeats itself. And I'm just so afraid. And I was just like, okay, I love the tapping and I've been trying to do tapping. And I find that some nights I'm like, okay, I'll tap. I tapped, I did it. Okay, now I can go ahead and eat. So
Interesting. So
I did like my,
you're
well,
not
I'm
seeing the
doing
benefit of
it.
tapping.
Well, I do sometimes. I did it yesterday, not at night, but because I was panicked. I was having a total meltdown about having to have a one-on-one with my boss. I meet with my boss every Monday, and I felt like I hadn't prepared. I felt like a complete fraud. And I was so, because I actually took the weekend to actually kind of relax instead of like work. Because I wasn't feeling well and I have a big week coming up. And so I was like, I can't be sick. So I need to take some time to myself. And so I just didn't work. I could have worked, but I just didn't. And so I come up, I'm running up on my meeting with my boss, and I'm just surprised that I'm feeling so anxious and nervous and fearful and like afraid to be fired. There is no data telling me that he's going to fire me. It's just my regular one-on-one. But I got myself all in this like tizzy. So I stopped everything and I did tapping and I tried to like think, what would Kathy do? What would she say? What emotion am I feeling? And I honestly can't remember what emotion it was. It was something like fear or something like that. And it actually worked. And what I realized was I wasn't breathing. That didn't help either. So I wasn't taking deep breaths. And then I looked at my email and he had canceled the one-on-one. He said, I can't make it traveling. I report to the CEO. So it's like Corinne. It's like you and Corinne, right? It's like, at any moment he could be like, yeah, I don't like the way you looked at me. You're out. And
Now, I'm
so,
not saying Corinne would do that,
no, no,
but
no, no.
that's what I
But
would
my,
think. Yeah.
right. Well, I think that, and he could do that, but because I report to him, but I also know that like he's probably not going to do that. And there probably would be a lot of things along the way, but he is the big cheese, right? It's like there's the, so anyway, and it's so I guess what I'm asking about is, am I missing something? Is there something else I could be doing? Is there, do I just keep doing it? Do I just,
So
yeah.
let's talk about this for a minute, okay? Because when there's a couple of things I want to say. My dad used to fuss at me because I was an accountant, I was an auditor, and he'd say, "Oh, auditors are here to help people, right?" Well, a coach has a couple of things to say.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. When you do you know the terms above home base and below home base?
Yes.
Okay, so home base, for those of you who don't, home base is where you feel your best. It's where you're calm, you're centered, you're focused, nervous system energy is right where it should be or right where it feels good to you. You're not having a lot of urges to eat, you're doing hunger and enough, all's right with the world. Okay, what you are describing, Amy, is above home base. Fear. Panic, short of breath, high energy, activated, right? You probably have prickly skin. You probably, your brain's going, dee, 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 dee. It's right. Lots and lots of energy. You're antsy. All that you're describing above home base, which is an increase in energy inside of your body. Okay.
Yep.
You have lots of things that are triggering you to go above home base. Worry about your mom, worry about your finances, worry about your job, all these. And I'm using worry. I don't know if you worry, but thinking about, let's just say thinking about your mom, thinking about her living in
Yes.
Arizona, thinking
Yes.
about the
And
financial apocalypse.
triggering things that are coming up, right? Because it's like I'll get an email or I'll get a text message or I'll get a and like I'm like every time.
When you are above home base, when you're riding up there and you're not able to regulate, your body is going to react that way to every little thing that comes up. It's almost like you're stuck. It's almost like you're stuck above home base. Okay.
Yes.
And so I like to think of this in terms of like a table. All right. So if you think you've got a table and then you've got legs, the table top itself for you is fear. The legs are everything that you are fearful of. Losing your job, financial apocalypse, mom's illness, mom living in,
Sisters being
sisters being
annoying
annoying.
biatches.
All of these things are the legs to your tabletop, which is fear. Okay. You start knocking out those legs one at a time. What happens to the tabletop? It starts to collapse, right? So for you, I think. If you picked any of those things to tap on, you would decrease the fear, you would decrease the dysregulation of your nervous system, and the table would begin to collapse. Okay? That makes sense? Yeah. So when you tap, you start on the side of your hand, and I want you to think, and you want to do it with me for a minute?
Yeah, let me put my computer down so that I have two hands.
Okay.
Because I'm sitting with it on my lap and
Okay. All right. So, side of the hand. And we're
Does it
just going to,
matter dominant or not?
Nope.
Okay,
Just the side of the hand.
I'll
First
just
of
do
all,
what's
tell me.
comfortable.
Yeah. And I use my fingertips. You can use whatever you want, but
I
my
was doing
fingertips.
it like this because then I feel it more here. Am I supposed to feel it here or on the
Okay.
fingers?
You're supposed to feel it. You're supposed to feel it on the side of your hand. So you can see I use all four fingertips to hit the whole side of my hand.
I like
Okay.
this for some reason. It
Yeah,
works.
that's fine. All right. So when you're doing this on your own, if you and I were in a tapping session, we would make it bigger and broader. But when you're doing this on your own, all I want you to do is tap on the side of your hand. and say, even though I'm afraid,
Even though I'm afraid.
because I'm thinking about financial apocalypse, I'm thinking about my job, I'm thinking about my sisters, pick one.
Because I'm thinking about my upcoming move and how I'm ready but not ready
All
and
right.
so
That's
busy.
enough. That's enough, right? Don't make
Okay.
it a paragraph.
Okay.
Okay?
Because I'm thinking about my upcoming move.
Because I'm thinking about my upcoming move and whether or not I'm ready.
Because I'm thinking about my upcoming move and whether or not I'm ready.
Right here, right now, I'm safe.
Right here, right now, I'm safe.
And that breath tells me everything. Right? Because right there in your office, behind your computer, you're safe, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And you said you do this three times. Even though I'm afraid,
Even though I'm afraid,
just thinking about this upcoming move and whether or not I'm ready.
just thinking about this upcoming move and whether or not I'm ready.
Right here, right now, I'm safe.
Right here, right now, I'm safe.
Even though I'm afraid, I'm thinking, just thinking about this upcoming move.
Even though I'm afraid, just thinking about this upcoming move.
Right here, right now, I'm safe.
Right here, right now, I'm safe.
Then you go to the top of the head, and I use the flat of my hand because I like it better. And I say, afraid. This is where
Afraid.
you just mentioned the emotion. Side of the eye. You can use one hand or two. I like two. I said side of the eye. Sorry, eyebrow points.
Yeah, like I've
Eyebrow points.
attended your calls enough that I went to
Eyebrow points.
the right place.
Side of the eye.
Yep.
Then side of the eye.
Yep.
Afraid.
Afraid.
Under the eye. Afraid.
Afraid.
Under the nose. Afraid.
Afraid.
Under the mouth, afraid.
Afraid.
Collarbone points, afraid.
Afraid.
And under the arm, afraid.
This one's weird. My boobs always get in the
It's weird for me too that a lot of people like it. Maybe go around a little
I
bit
was gonna
further. I
say,
don't
does
know.
everybody have smaller, I'm
Yeah.
going, I'm working on
And
it. It's like kind of
if
funny,
you know what, you
but
can skip that one if you want to.
okay, because it's
Whatever
like,
makes you
yeah, people are
happy.
laughing. Like this one is huge because
Okay.
that's, I realize like how much I'm
Yeah.
like, but when I do this, I feel silly. I just feel like I'm just wiggling
Well,
my own, like wiggle
and
my
honestly,
what do they call it? My third boob or my fourth boob, like the extra,
and some
the
people
jiggly bits on the side.
who have mobility or no flexibility or something can't get around there, so it's okay to skip that one.
Okay. Yeah,
Right.
I'm like I feel maybe I could get rib cage or something, but yeah, that one's funny
And see the rib
to
cage, I
me.
don't know that that's a meridian, a meridian,
Oh,
an
okay.
inner
So there's
tonsillation.
something here.
That,
It
right.
must have been invented by somebody who had smaller boobs than
Well,
I've got. So no, and no matter how much weight I lose, they're still extra. So yeah.
the,
And I've had them reduced and they're still extra. So anyway.
okay, somebody who weighed 230 pounds and was proud of her C cups is jealous, okay?
Yeah,
The
I
points
know.
are actually acupuncture points from old Chinese
You're
medicine, right?
right.
That
Yeah,
send when
okay.
we tap on these particular points, it sends a message back to the amygdala that it can calm down. That's the whole point to tapping. For some people, like you said, the collarbone points are the ones for you. That's the one that hits. Sometimes all you have to do is just sit there and hit those collarbone points. You can do it with
Yeah.
a hand or two.
Yeah, this one's huge.
But that's how you put a really quick, short tapping sequence together. And when you find yourself breathing and yawning, you know you're taking the intensity down in the feeling. Okay? So your homework is to tap on that fear and the reason whenever you feel it and go three rounds. Because 3 rounds is what I'm finding, 3 rounds usually takes it down to a manageable level. Now, I'm not going to tell y'all it's going to fix everything. It's not going to fix every emotion. You're not going to feel fear. It's not that you're not going to feel fear ever again. What it's going to do is it's going to bring the fear down enough that you can bring that logical brain back online and help you think about what you want to do next. See, you're still breathing. One round. One round with the
I
magic.
know.
Okay.
Okay.
Is that helpful?
Huge. And I love the table visual with the legs. Sometimes I think my table's got about 18 legs, but I got to do, and I also like the one at a time.
Totally possible. I mean, we can have, we can call it a centipede if you want. Some we can have. Let's we can get real complicated and say we can have tabletops on top of tabletops too, but I don't really want to get into
No,
that. We'll
that's
just
that
keep with
I
the
just
one for now.
yeah. I'll just think of like a really long table, like a cafeteria table with like all the different, and I gotta like just keep letting them
Just
knock them
start,
down.
and they can play whack-a-mole too. So right now you might be feeling better about the move, right? But that doesn't mean it, that didn't make another fear pop up or another fear pop up.
Exactly.
Something.
Right.
Just tapping is helping your it helps create emotional resilience, helps you feel your feelings and be able to move forward anyway. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for
Thank
raising your hand.
you.
I hope it was helpful.
Huge.
All right.
Thank you, ma'am.
All righty. Bye. Sue says, I'm a person who seems to always be managing my nervous system, but at least I understand what is happening to me now. Sue, I would offer to you that if you're always managing your nervous system, that means you have great nervous system awareness. Okay? That just means you understand when you need care if you're managing your nervous system. All right? So I want you to think about it that way. Think about how you just have really great awareness about what you need. Okay. Caitlin, you're next.
There.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
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 What you need?
Absolutely. So I think I'm dealing, I have some kind of emotion that I'm dealing with, but I don't know what it is.
Okay.
So I hit maintenance about 2 weeks ago.
Yay, congratulations.
Thank you. Lost 180 pounds.
180 pounds.
80
All
pounds.
right, everybody, let's pause and shoot up some hearts and some, confetti cannons and all that stuff. That's amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you. And since I have hit maintenance, I have binged 4 times. I've written in to ask coaches about this, but I wrote in after I binged a couple times, and then it's happened a couple times since. So, and I'm not sure what is driving that, because I'm clearly feeling something that the food is still doing. And I'm not sure what it is.
Are the circumstances around the binges similar, or are they different? Different time, different place, different triggers. What are the triggers for the binge?
They've mostly been at night, end of the day, and kind of sitting in front of the TV. And it's been a lot of trying to think. Like the last one was on Sunday.
Okay, tell me about that one.
I had been at work and I worked through lunch, which is pretty common on my Sundays. And I had stopped to get groceries on my way home and ended up buying some extra food to eat that I was going to just, I had planned to like eat it through the week and then got home and ate all of it. Instead of eating it through for over several days, basically.
Do you have any idea what the binge was? I want to ask you a Coach Betsy question.
Yeah.
Okay. Betsy looks at binges as a way we sometimes as a way we are attempting to care for ourselves. Is there something you are attempting to care for? Can you come up with that? A fear, a worry, a heaviness.
That's what I'm not sure about. Like I've thought I have been feeling pretty good, but clearly not, because I wouldn't have binged 4 times in 2 weeks if I was feeling good.
Well, I mean, I don't want to make any assumptions, one way or two. Tell me how you feel about hitting maintenance.
Excited,
Okay.
relieved. It took about 2 years, almost 2 years to get there, and the last 10 pounds took like 3 months to get off, and I got very frustrated with it. So there's a lot of relief, a lot of excitement. Something I said when I wrote in to ask coaches was, I've been trying to lose weight since I was 12. I'm 38 now, and I've lost and gained many times, have never hit a goal weight that I had set. And the coach who wrote back said, so say until now. So I've been trying to remind myself of that. So that I think there is a little bit of nervousness of, the nervousness of the regain or like what comes next as well, feeling maybe, I'm not sure, I mean, just a little aimless or just nervous.
Yeah. So before you hit maintenance, when was the last time you binged?
Oh, it'd probably been a
For a
couple months.
couple of months. Okay. So interesting that it's been 4 times
Yeah.
since this dialogue has started about maintenance, right?
Yeah, I binged the whole way down, but it was like 2, 3 months between binges, and now it's been 4 times in 2 weeks.
And then I saw something come up in the chat, and I lost my train of thought. You binge the whole way down, hadn't been, it'll come back. Okay. Tell me what you're nervous about.
Nervous about gaining it back.
Okay. And why?
Nervous about, I guess, figuring out who I am at this weight. I've never been this small, and figure out what that means. Like, who am I now? Yes.
So identity.
Yeah.
Who are you now, Kayla? Are you a different person now than you were 180 pounds ago?
In some ways,
Are you a different person now than you were 10 pounds ago?
guess, no, I'm pretty similar to who I was 10 pounds ago.
So 10 pounds ago, were you concerned about identity?
No, not really.
Okay.
I think I was, because I was still in the identity I've had for a really long time of I'm still someone losing weight.
So how much experience do you have at being at the identity of someone who's in maintenance?
2 weeks at this point.
So of course, that would be like, what do you do for a living?
I'm a teacher.
You're a teacher. Okay. Kaboom, in 2 weeks, you're going to be a doctor. Okay.
That would not go
Right.
well.
Do you think he would binge over being a doctor?
Yeah,
Probably, right?
probably.
So, but do you think there's a part of you that could learn over time to be in the healthcare field?
Probably.
Yeah. So it's that middle piece that's you have to activate. That piece, okay, I'm really good at losing weight. I have lost 180 pounds. Took me 2 years. In fact, over my lifetime, I've probably lost a lot of weight. As you said, really good at losing weight, right? It's this maintenance piece that I'm figuring out now, that I have, that I'm trying to figure out. The funny thing is, Caitlin, maintenance, you did really great at maintaining 10 pounds ago. Right? Didn't you tell me it took a while to get that off? You were really
Yes.
good at maintaining 10 pounds ago. Maybe you can be just about as good at maintaining 10 pounds down.
Yeah.
Your brain is uncomfortable with the new identity, with creating this future you, because it's never done it before.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And I've made an effort to do thing, come up with new goals and things like that. But yeah, there's definitely that sense of.
What if the goal is to stay exactly where you are?
So I guess I'm so used to striving for taking steps forward that that almost feels staying
Oh,
from
really?
put.
That's fascinating.
Oh.
And how much practice have you had at staying the way you are?
I mean, when I've been between attempts at losing weight, I've just stayed where I was.
Well, staying at the way you are now.
Not the way I am now, no.
Okay. So maybe the goal becomes I'm going to stay exactly where I am right now until the end of the year, and then I'm going to reset the goal. Okay. Maybe then it becomes, now that you have evidence, because that would be about 6 months worth of evidence, right? Now that you have evidence that you can do it for 6 months or even 3 months. No, 1 month, whatever time period you put on it, then you can revisit it at the end of the goal and go, I think I can do it for 2 months now. I think maybe I can do it till the end of the year. And then you're building the identity and the habits and the practice of being someone who stays at the way you are now, which becomes an attained goal. Right?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Can you see that as moving forward?
Yeah, I think so.
Can you see that as marrying where you are now with the new identity of someone who's a maintainer?
Yeah, those seem very connected
Mm-hmm.
to each other for sure.
So when that coach, whoever that very wise coach was, probably it wasn't me, remember this question, said, until now, that's just what you need to start practicing to yourself. Okay, I've never lost weight and kept it off. Okay, that's probably true. But that doesn't mean I can't do it this time. It doesn't mean I can't every day think about my identity, my new identity as a maintainer.
Yeah. I like that. That doesn't mean I can't do it now.
Just like you could learn to move into the medical profession if you wanted to. I bet in your role as a teacher, you're having to learn new things all the time. You have to learn new kids. Are you a classroom teacher?
Yeah, I teach college students.
You teach college? Okay. You might have a great identity as a college teacher, but every class is going to be different. You have to learn those kids. You have to grade those papers. You have to, figure out your teaching style for that group. Right? You're always learning and adapting. This is not a lot different from that.
Yeah.
What are
Yeah,
you
that
thinking?
makes sense. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, it's something I can learn to do. And I can learn who I am now.
Yeah. You can learn if you're different. It might be that you're the same person, but you have different habits,
Yeah.
right? Or you have new habits. Some of them are the same, some of them are different.
Yeah, because I built a lot of habits that I like and will continue to do.
So, circling back now, do you have any idea what the emotion is? You said, I don't know what I'm feeling.
I mean, definitely mean, I think it's there's this the underlying anxiety for sure.
So,
It's interesting because at least at the times that I did it, I wasn't really thinking about that.
no, it's
Yeah.
running under the surface for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. And anxiety, I love to say anxiety lives in the future. We're never anxious about something that's already happened. We're mad or we're sad or upset about something that's already happened. Anxiety lives in the future. It's a worry about what's going to happen or what might happen. Or what might not happen. Okay. So if it's an undercurrent of anxiety that you're running because, you're now a maintainer and you have to figure out who that is and what is your future? Am I going to keep my weight off? Then that makes sense to me. Right.
Yeah.
So you have to start answering your questions. Am I going to keep my weight off? You might not be able to say yes. But you can say today, I'm going to execute those new habits I'm learning, as an example.
Yeah, I like that.
Today, I'm going to call myself a maintainer at least three times so I can get used to saying those words. Okay. And today, if I binge, I'm going to look at it and say, what need was I trying to fulfill? And how can I try and give myself that another way? How's that sound?
Yeah, I like that the today I can do that. And then, and that's the thing when, because people always ask, like, what did you do? Like, what's your biggest tip? And I said, like, just persistence with it and sticking with, so like, and often the changes that I made, like, I just needed the evidence that I could do it. So like, if I can do it today, that's evidence that I can do it. And then evidence the next day I can do it. And that's just more evidence that it's doable. And it becomes easier to build the belief.
You lost your weight one meal at a time,
Yeah.
right? It may have been 365 times three times two meals, right?
Yeah.
1600 meals, but it was only one meal at a time.
Right.
And you will adopt the identity of someone who's maintaining rather than losing one meal at a time too. And you have evidence that you can do this one meal at a time thing. So you have to call on that evidence to help you learn how to manage it now.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah, that was really helpful.
Good. Let us know how you do.
Oh, well.
Because if you need more support, you know where to find us.
I'm.
All right. And congratulations again. 100.
Thank
Thank
you
you.
so much.
That's awesome. All right. Take care.
Thanks.
All right. Let's get to these questions. Anonymous says, I noticed that when I fill out the tracker that I never have positive self-talk and have trouble identifying my feelings or moods. So sometimes Anonymous, when you have trouble with positive self-talk, you start with neutrality. Okay, instead of saying, I'll never get this, you say, I'm right here filling out my tracker. Okay, I'll never eat it enough. Yeah, but I'm filling out my tracker. Okay, so move from negative self-talk into neutrality. See if you can make it a little less negative and start moving in that direction. Kind of like I was talking with Caitlin about one meal at a time. You want to take one small step at a time. Toward this more open way of thinking about yourself. Okay. If you have trouble with that, please come to Ask Coaches. Okay. Let us help you. Becky says, I know I overeat when I'm stressed and tired, especially when I'm tired. How can I work on this? So I'm a big believer, Becky, in identifying the true need. Okay. If you're hungry, the true need is food. If you're thirsty, the true need is water. If you're tired, the true need is rest. Now, you might not have access to your bed at the moment you're tired. At 1 o'clock this afternoon, when I was headed back up to work, I was tired. I was ready for a nap. but I had calls. So sometimes you access different types of rest. All right. And there is a video on the nervous system resource page. And I think it's seven different types of rest. There's physical rest, which would be laying down. There's emotional rest. There's spiritual rest. I can't remember them all. Maybe y'all can help me. But there are different ways that you can give yourself rest. Sometimes physical rest can look like this. You're at your computer and you're working, working, working. Sometimes it can look like just sitting back for a minute, lowering your shoulders, and taking a deep breath and loosening the tension in your body. Okay, that can help with stress. That can help with tired. Your inclination is going to be to eat because that's what we've always done. But see if you can find the true need. See if you can address the true need. Okay. Jackie says, Kathy, can a person be extremely above home base and below home base at the same time? I am in a very upset place at this time with no end in the near future. Love tapping and try breathing 10 deep breaths quite a bit. Yes. How can I calm myself back to somewhere near home base? Jackie, what you have described is a freeze state. Okay. I talked about this a little bit earlier in the call. Freeze state is a combination of above home base and below home base, where you are highly activated in your body, yet you can't move. So I used to get this way in meetings. Okay. I would be really intimidated by who I was trying to talk to, and I would be all buzzy inside, but I couldn't get my words out. That's a freeze state. Overwhelm can create a freeze state where you have all these things in your mind that you have to do or want to do or should do, yet you can't decide which one is the first step. All right. So that's what happens in a freeze state. So that's what you've described. When you are in a freeze state, the way to help bring yourself out of it a little at a time is to think of a slow thaw. All right. You can't go out and run a marathon in a freeze state because you can barely move. But maybe you can move a little bit. Maybe you can walk a little bit. Maybe you can take deep breaths. I want you to think about it as a slow thaw. There is on the nervous system resource page, there is a cheat sheet, a nervous system state cheat sheet, I think is what it's called. And it talks in there about different things to do when you're in a freeze state. Go look at that, see if that helps. But think about it in terms of a slow thaw. You slow movements will help bring the energy level down and help activate your system that's having trouble moving. Okay. Hopefully that helps, Jackie. If it doesn't, write to me and ask coaches and we'll talk some more. Tracy, does tapping work with pain? Yes. Yes. I had a huge fibromyalgia flare yesterday. Low energy, brain fog, muscles hurt all over my body, and I just ate my way through it. Okay. So there is a tapping technique called chasing the pain. And Tracy, I don't know if you are available next week. I'm doing a tapping call. It would be really, really great if I could demonstrate this with a person on the tapping call. I've actually done it with one of my private clients who has a lot of pain she has to deal with. And she has told me that it's very helpful. Basically, what you do is you describe the pain, size, shape, color, temperature, weight, anything you can do to describe the pain, and you tap on those characteristics. So you might say, I have this baseball size, red, glowing heaviness in my back. This baseball size, red, glowing heaviness in my back. And you tap through the point saying those things and see if the intensity level comes down. You can also do that with an urge, y'all. I would love to demonstrate this next week. I think it's Thursday, the 23rd. I have a tapping call. If you can come to that with your pain or with your urge, I'll show you how it works. But that's basically what you do. You tap on the descriptors and you see if the intensity level comes back down. Becky says fibromyalgia is very hard to deal with, add neuropathy and multiple arthritis. Hopefully, I can make that call. What time is it? Yes, Becky, I would love for you to make that call. It is at 10 a.m. Central Time, Thursday. July 23rd. Sandy says, would you mind repeating the table analogy? Many, many times, if you picture a table, we have lots of, and you put on the table, you have anxiety or fear or an emotion that you feel in a lot of different, for a lot of different reasons. Okay. So for Amy, I think it was, she had fear and she had the reasons of her job, her mom, her finances, her sisters. If you work specifically on one of those table legs, it weakens the table overall. So if you work on a couple of those table legs, it weakens the table overall. So with tapping, we pick a very specific leg to work on, like we did with her, with the move. It was the move, right? We picked on that, we picked that specific leg of the move. And we brought her fear down about the move, which can help the fear in other areas. Now, one tapping session, probably not gonna get it. It's probably gonna come back. She's gonna have to do this repeatedly, like a practice, or come to private coaching and let me work with her on it repeatedly. Okay. Tracy says, I'll definitely be available at that time on Thursday. That would be great, Tracy. Just come and raise your hand. And when I'll make a note to look for you, Tracy, tapping and pain. That would be an amazing thing for the membership to see, honestly, and I think it would be real helpful to, for you too. Okay. All right, y'all. I think that is everybody. I hope this was helpful tonight. I think that I don't know. I think this was a pretty good call. Lots of topics that I think would be helpful to a bunch of people. So I hope it was helpful to you. I'll be back again here next month doing the how to feel the hard stuff calls, and we're going to have a tapping call every month too. So I think it's going to be helpful. At least I hope it is. All right. Y'all have a good evening, and I'll see you in the Facebook, in the Ask Coaches, wherever it is you need me. All right. Y'all take care. Bye-bye.